Take your Bible tonight and turn to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14, once you find Luke 14, find verse number 16, and I'm going to read five or six verses out loud with you. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse number 16. Please stand with me if you would, please. Luke chapter 14, verse number 16. Tonight I'm going to be extremely, extremely practical. The sermon is called Compelling Them to Come In, or Compelling Visitors into the Church. Luke chapter 14, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, so I'm suicidal. I'm sorry, that's not what it says. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Please take the practicality of the sermon and reap eternal dividends for thyself with it. God, we need in this day and age to realize that we need to reach out to people. You love people. You left the splendors of heaven to come to this world to reach out to people. We too would need to leave the haven of the church to reach out and draw people in so that they too might know Jesus the Savior. Holy Spirit of God, take the simple sermon, once again multiply it so that people might be reached and lives might be changed, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. The Bible said there in Luke chapter 14, verse number 23, it says, And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. I thank God for the house of the Lord. I thank God for the church house. But I happen to believe that if we're not careful, our churches will be empty. And I really do believe that God, He gave us instruction here. He said that my house might be filled. We say this all the time here. I realize that on a Sunday morning we'll have to say to people, we apologize that the building is so full. That is an apology with just a little bit of we're pleased with that apology, and that because we want the church house to be full. I apologize about the parking. We run out of parking, but boy, I've been to many ball games where they ran out of parking, and all they were doing was throwing a ball around. And there's something a little more important than that. There's a place called heaven, and there's a place called hell. And so we're to be working toward reaching people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And then when it says, he said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. That word compel, it means to convince. It means to make it a necessary thing. And notice that he said that my house might be filled. Now, he might say that about God's house. He might be saying that about your church bus route. He might be saying that about your Sunday school class. We need to be compelling people so that God's house is full. Now, the word compel is an urgent word. It's a word of urgency. Folks, you'll never convince people to come to God's house if you don't get a little more urgent about it. We sometimes are a little too lax. And when you say urgent, what do you mean? Well, now's the best time. And try to get people into the church. Not only is the word compel an urgent word, it's a word of repetition. If you studied that word compel, it means you become urgent with people about coming into the church, but then you repeat yourself. And you repeat yourself. And God knows in this day and age, you have to work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. So to compel someone, there's an urgency in what you're doing. And not only that, there is to be a repetition in what you're doing. And then there is an intensity. So the urgency is when, and that's right away, the repetition is the repeating and not giving up. And then the intensity, that's the level of excitement. Now, folks, you're never going to get anybody to come to church with you if you don't think it's important to get done pretty well right away, and you're not going to get it done if you ask just one time. And then if you don't get excited, you're probably not going to get it done. You know, the average person out there and the average community thinks church is boring and drab. Well, it's not boring and drab around here, but you've got to get an intensity, and they're going to kind of judge what it would be like at the church when they watch how you present it. And if you are boring and drab and lethargic and you present it to them that way, they're going to think that church is boring and drab and lethargic. And so it may not interest them. So we need, the Bible says, to compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be filled. Now, I got to looking in the Bible, and there's story after story after story in the Bible about preaching services and some of the things that took place in Acts chapter 20, verse number 9. Paul was preaching, and the crowd was quite large. A man by the name of Eutychus was setting three stories up in a window. Now, the real story is Eutychus falls asleep up there, and he falls to the ground, and he dies, and he has to be revived. Now, some of you stand the chance of falling asleep in church. We're not in the third story or the third loft, but that building was so full, they filled the first level, and then the second level, and then up to a third level, and I don't know if it was kind of a balcony situation. I don't know exactly how it all took place, but I will tell you this. It was full enough that he was way up there, and that meant there were people. There was an attraction to get those people in there. And I'm not interested in the part where he falls out of his seat and is asleep, but I am interested in the part that place was full. It was a full house. I think God intended it to be that way. There's a story in the Bible. Jesus, do you realize, you might wonder why there were so many outdoor meetings in the Bible. And I'll tell you one reason why. Jesus drew such a huge crowd, there was no building that would hold them. The average temple, the average building, they couldn't have gotten everybody into it. You say, what happened? Well, if they did have a building, they outgrew it. They were always under stress trying to figure out what to do with all the people. And it ought to be that way. And that's how it was with Jesus. The crowd was large. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 2, there was in this particular story, the crowd had grown so large, Jesus knew he needed to speak to the crowd, but he couldn't figure out how in the world he was going to do it because there were so many people. So he got the idea. They were at the seashore, and he was at the water, and he said, well, get me that boat. And they went over and got a boat, and he launched out a little ways off the coast, if you will, or off the shore. And the people stayed on shore, looked out to him, and he actually preached and turned the boat into his platform and pulpit and had to preach from there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was a pretty big crowd. There weren't just 15 people there, and they had gathered people and invited people, and the people were excited. And so Jesus had to preach from a boat because there was no place for him to stand where he could speak to the crowd. As you look through the New Testament, that New Testament church in Jerusalem, they were interested in going somewhere. They were interested in doing something. They were interested in pleasing God. They wanted to reach people, and they wanted to help people. In Mark chapter 2 and other chapters in the Bible, one day that Jesus was in somebody's house, and the Bible says it was noised abroad that he was there, and that everybody just started inviting people to come to that house where Jesus was. And the Bible says they filled that house so full of people There were some that wanted to get to Jesus, and they couldn't get to him through the windows. They couldn't get to him through the front door. They couldn't get to him from the back door. And the place was so full of people. Do you know what they did? They pulled the roof off of the place. You say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do to get everybody in here? I don't know. If we got to yank the roof off the thing, we'll yank the roof off the thing. But we need to get people to Jesus. And that's what happened. So don't think it an unseemly thing that we would be concerned and desirous of reaching people. That's what we're supposed to do. And notice something. The Bible says that we're to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And remember that word compel. It's urgent. It's a repetitive thing. And there's an intensity about it. That didn't say that the church is supposed to stay home and just hope some visitor stumbles in. It said we're to reach out to them. We're to go out to them. We're to invite them. We're to try to attract them into the church. And you say, well, why? Why would God feel that way? Well, first of all, when visitors come to the church, everybody that comes, they're going to get the Word of God. And that's, we uphold, and in a very, very strong way, we believe the preaching of the Word of God is a very big deal. Now, I thank God for the music, and we have a great music program. But I tell you, the music never is more important than the preaching of the Word of God. Now, they work together, and I like that. There's no activity that's more important. The teenagers had an activity a week or so ago. Teenagers, don't ever come to an activity on Saturday, then turn around, don't show up to church on Sunday. You got it all mixed up. The activities are fun and they're great, but boy, we want the church house full, and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God becomes very, very preeminent, and it's very, very powerful and very important. So God wants a lot of people in church. Why? Because if you get those people in the church, they're going to hear the Word of God. Not only that, when visitors come in, that means that you're going to come across some visitors that have never trusted Jesus as Savior. So when you reach visitors, we stand the potential then of giving them the gospel. I think there were, 17 visitors here this morning, and 6 or 7 of them trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And so, no wonder God wants visitors, and He wants to attract people into the church. They're going to hear the Word of God. As a result of hearing the Word of God, then they stand the chance, if they're unsaved, of being saved. But you know, not only that, then if someone gets saved, they will then publicly profess Jesus Christ. Like today, the people that got saved, they walked the aisle. We filled out a decision slip, and we told the people of their salvation. That was their chance to testify the fact that they just got saved. So we taught them the Word of God. Now they've been saved. Now they've testified to their salvation, which they're commanded to do in the Bible anyway. But not only that, some of those people then will eventually follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, there's another step of what God wants. So when we're reaching visitors, they're learning the Word of God. If they're learning the Word of God, they can get born again. If they get born again, they can make public their salvation. If they make public their salvation, they stand the chance of getting baptized. And it's a wonderful thing. You know something else? I think one reason why God wants the church to succeed and He wants to watch growth in the church is because we watch enough secular organizations grow and succeed. It's time for the church to rise up and grow again. We somehow have accepted that Joe's Bar and Grill is going to be filled to capacity on Saturday night, and if 5 people show up at church, we're satisfied with that. Well, fooey on that. I think the church house ought to be more exciting than Joe's Bar and Grill. There's a different kind of a high that you get here. It's a spiritual high, and we ought to become consumed with reaching people and letting the world see Jesus is alive and well. The Bible's still true. God's still on the throne. And God's still reaching people. There are people that have sold out to the thought that you can't have revival in this day and age. And that's probably true for them because they don't want to have revival in this day and age. But I happen to believe that if people are willing to do what they're supposed to do, God is still willing to bring revival to a church and revival to people. He's still willing to fill the church house. He's still willing to see people saved and lives changed. Now, I really do want us to continue to work at it, and I'm going to give you, and you'll have to forgive me tonight, I'm going to get extremely, extremely practical for a little while, and I'm just going to give you a handful of ideas of things that you do. If you'll do this, You can contribute to our getting visitors into the church. And remember the reason why. And in a second, I'll talk about our Krispy Kreme pies. You know, those pies, they're a little bit of fun to give them away, but the ultimate purpose for reaching people is to get people saved and keep people out of hell and help them to fulfill God's plan for their life. Having a little fun while we do it, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But let me make a handful of statements tonight, and then we'll go home. It won't take long. You know how preachers lie about that. Again, first of all, let me say, getting visitors, one of the keys is you just got to want to bring visitors. You've just got to want to do it. And let me tell you something, folks. Don't be afraid to invite your neighbors to come to church. Don't be afraid to invite your friends to come to church. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to invite the people that you go to school with. Don't be afraid to invite your family. Don't be afraid. Hey, and sometimes you need to invite the ones that you're not real confident will even come. They will surprise you. A lot of times, the people you invite. Maybe you were convinced someone would come and they didn't show up, and somebody else that you invited and you really didn't have a lot of faith that they would come, you might be shocked who will come. But folks, you will never get visitors to come to church if you don't want visitors to come to church. And you say, well, I'm not sure I can. Well, at least fail at it. Try and fail. That's the least we can do. But you're never going to have visitors come with you unless you invite people. So that means we've got to want to bring visitors. You know, there are some people that don't want to bring their friends to church. You say, why? Well, you're liable to bring your friends to church, and your friends are going to hear how you're supposed to be living. You know, I'm not sure I want my friends to know how I'm supposed to be living. Now, we ought to want to reach out and get people into the local New Testament church. And you say, why? Because that's what God said we were supposed to do. So, but you got to want to bring visitors. Now, secondly, let me tell you, we have some fun. We use some promotional items. We'll give the kids some candy or something like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Someone said, oh, you're bribing people. Well, you need to take a little time and get you a dictionary and look up the word bribe. We're not paying people money to do something bad. We're giving people good things as reward to do something good. So it's not a sinful thing. I don't think the promotional items will ever be what it's really all about. They're not supposed to be what it's all about. But as you know, we're giving a box of Krispy Kreme pies away. You bring an adult visitor, you get some pies, they get some pies. And nothing wrong with that at all. It's a nice little gesture of kindness as a result. I said something about this a couple weeks ago. You say, well, I just don't believe in doing that for visitors. Okay, then you give me your pies and you bring all your visitors and you don't have to take the pies. That'd be fine with me. Usually the critics of it are people that are not productive anyway. They're not going to invite anybody. They're just looking for something else to gripe about. But if we're going to compel them to come in, you got to want to get visitors. And then you use some of the things that are made available. Thirdly, may I recommend in our church, you can very confidently advertise to people our music program. We've got a great music program. Our choir, they've developed and they're getting better and better. And boy, when people stand up here and sing, we've got some great musicians and we've got some great singers. And listen, you say, well, I think people ought to come to church for Jesus. So do I, but you have to realize something. If somebody's not saved and they don't know Jesus, they might not come just to see Jesus. They may come to hear someone sing. But if you know anything about our music, they're going to hear us sing about Jesus. And while they're here, we're going to pop open the Bible and preach the stuffings out of them. They're going to hear about heaven and they're going to hear about hell. And they thought it was all about the music. And they got here and found out it's really not all about the music. You got a loudmouth preacher that's going to open up the Bible and preach to you anyway. But you don't have to tell them that. Just tell them to come hear the music program. They'll figure it out about 3 minutes in. But I think you all know that. People are attracted to the music. And I think there are people that are what I would call religious. You know, there's a difference in being religious and being saved. Religious people will be attracted to the music, and if you want, use it as bait. We'll get them in here, and then we'll catch a fish for Jesus by getting the gospel out through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so, I said, number one, you got to want to bring visitors. If you don't want to do it, then it's not going to happen. Secondly, you can use the promotional items. Thirdly, use the special music. It's attractive to people. Number four, there's something that I learned a long time ago. If you would like, you say, well, Pastor, I'd like to get 5 visitors to come to church with me during the spring program, then you'll probably need to invite 10 people. You're never going to bat 100%. Matter of fact, 10 might not be enough if you want to get 5. You say, how many? I don't know. You might need to invite 50 to get 5. But if you want to get 5 visitors, you just invite, and eventually you're going to have a handful of them to show up. And that's just always the way it's been. Not everybody you invite will come. And so you invite many, and it may produce a few, but we all ought to be contributing to God's desire, not my desire. You know, I don't get paid any more or any less on the basis of our attendance. Matter of fact, the more people I get, the more headaches I get. And I'm not getting paid any more for the additional headaches. I can see why pastors might say, give me 10 people. I don't want any more than that. But no, we're to do this for the cause of Jesus Christ. He's the one that wants us to reach out. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of goals do you have for our church? I'd just like to do what God said. He told us to reach the whole world, and we got our hands full between now and then. And until we reach the whole world, I'm not sure there are a lot of little goals in between here and there. Let's just get the job done for Christ. But we're to reach out to people, and we're to reach people and help people. And so you got to want to bring visitors. You can use the promotional items. You can use the special music. If you want 10 visitors, you may have to invite 20 or 30 people to get that done. Let me say this also, and this is number 5. You want to start early if you want to get involved. Now, our spring program is much like a revival. What I've done, instead of us having a Monday night through Saturday evening revival, I just bump our revival into Sunday mornings. I found that to be quite productive. I just get them in on Sunday. And so we just take 4 or 5 Sunday mornings in a row, and we have our revival service, per se, on Sunday morning. Now, with that in mind, you say, I want to get involved in this thing. Okay, then I would start early. I would start early. You say, I want to get involved. I want to bring some guests. I want to bring visitors. I want to reach people. As we all know, we're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We're to win souls to Jesus Christ. When you sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Now listen, I'm not just to let my light shine. I need to take it out there, and I'm trying to reach people. It's not all about me just having a little light that I like. That light is to shine, and that shining is to reach people and pull people toward the lighthouse, which is the local New Testament church in Jesus Christ, the master of that lighthouse, and we're to be reaching people. But I'll tell you this, if you want to be involved, you want to start early. I wouldn't, if you finally decide right after 3 or 4 weeks, you say, I think I'll get involved, you've been better off getting involved right off the bat. There are people in here tomorrow, you ought to invite your neighbors to church. There are people in here tomorrow, you ought to invite your workmates to church. You ought to want them to come, but you have to start early. And if you start early, you stand a better chance of seeing some people come and respond. Then, number 6, you know, I learned this. Sometimes you can invite somebody and ask them to bring their family and friends with them. A lot of people, they may not come to church by themselves. So when you invite Joe and you say, hey, Joe, bring your family, bring your friends, bring anybody you want, you might be shocked that old Joe ends up with a carload of people that he came. And it might not be because Joe loved the Lord and Joe was trying to get him saved. It might be because Joe just didn't want to go to church by himself. But if you ask your visitor to bring people with them, you may find that they'll do that. And that happens often. It happens often that when you invite someone, if you will prompt them and say, I would love for you to come, and hey, bring anybody you want. You've got family, you've got friends, you've got neighbors, somebody you think might come along with you, bring them along. And I think you'll be pleased to find out sooner or later somebody that your visitor is going to bring a visitor with them. Number 7, I want to recommend something to you. How you handle it is up to you. I think, though, I think that I would be careful that if you're going to invite visitors, if they're lost people especially, or newer Christians, don't scare them to death about coming to church. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, let's say that you won someone to Jesus and you're wanting to get them into church. Now, there's a process that we're supposed to go through when we get saved. You're supposed to get saved, and then you're supposed to make public your salvation. And then you're supposed to be baptized, and then you're supposed to join the church. That's very clear. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what everybody's supposed to do. Okay, now if I were you, I'd be a little careful. You just want someone to Jesus on Thursday, and you want them to come on Sunday, and they've not been to church yet. I probably wouldn't say, now listen, I want you to come to Sunday school Sunday morning, and then you're going to go to church with me, and then you're going to make a public profession, you're going to get baptized, and we're going to join the church, I'm going to get you a copy of our bylaws. They're going to freak out, and they're going to say, I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm not going anywhere with you. You say, well, what do I do? Tell them to come to church and listen to the music. Just get them here. It's easier once you get them here, if you want to talk to them about making public their salvation. But don't scare them to death before you get them here. With some people, and look, if you say, well, I'm going to do it another way, okay, but I've been doing this for a long time, and your pastor, I'm a little bit ignorant. I'm a little bit slow. I take baby steps with everything. It just seems to work a little bit better. If I can get them here, that's a big step. And then I'll take another step, and then another step. But just be careful. I would say sometimes we scare people, and because they're not sure what's going to happen if they do come to church. And so don't scare your visitors away from church. Number 8, you could, and this has worked for me over and over again. If maybe we're giving away a Bible, or maybe I know on the bus routes we're giving some bicycles away. And, you know, I've had more than one person. I've said to them, hey, I have a chance to win a Bible out at the church. If I can get some guests to come, would you come and help me to win a Bible? There are a lot of people that would help you to do that. And so don't be afraid to ask them to help you to win a gift or a reward. And if those gifts or rewards were bad things, it would be one thing, but they're not bad things. What we give is always wholesome and decent and pure, and they're good things. But I think sometimes just asking a guest and say, hey, listen, would you come and help me? I have a chance to win a Bible, or I have a chance to win this prize, and they may very well certainly come and help you. Now, number 9, listen, I'll tell you something you have to remember. Back when we were in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, and we used the word compel, where it said compel them to come in, I told you that the word compel is a word of repetition. And that means this, folks, you have to learn, and this is point number 9, don't give up if they don't show up the first time you invite them. Don't give up. Now, you don't have to be rude to them, but listen, there are a lot of folks that I've invited to church and they said, I'll see you Sunday, and I didn't see them Sunday. But I didn't give up. I went right back after it, and many times maybe they had a valid reason why they did not come. But I don't just totally give up when they don't show up the first time. I'll try again. Now, let me go on. Number 10. If you would really like to have some guests, you may have to put some time into it and actually go visit some people and actually have some conversations with people. I'm going to tell you why the average church member of Twin Rivers Baptist Church doesn't have visitors. Because you don't try to get any visitors. All you have to do is walk up your street. You say, what? Well, we do that all the time here. You all do realize that. We go out and invite people constantly. Are you so distant from your neighbors that they don't even know you're a Christian? Are you that ashamed of what you are? Now look, if you're going to be what the Bible says you're supposed to be to your neighbors, you ought to be reaching out. I'm not talking about having them come over and have a Budweiser in the backyard when you have a barbecue, but I am talking about you getting along with them and being friendly toward them and them knowing that you're a born-again Christian. There's nothing at all wrong with your neighbors knowing who you are and what you are, and you ought not be ashamed to walk up and down your street and invite your neighbors to come to church with you. That's a little heavy, but that's true. It's very true. And so visit. And look, you have to put a little time into it. You know what I was taught? When I was going to Bible college, I worked at a machine shop. There was a man there by the name of Mike. He was one of my supervisors. He was a professional fisherman, and he made thousands and thousands of dollars a year fishing. He'd go to tournaments and catch big fish and make a lot of money. One day I asked him a question. I said, Mike, what is the key to catching fish? And this is what he said. You got to keep a line in the water. And I thought he was going to give me something far more complicated. You all do realize if there's no line in the water, there's no fish on the hook. When it comes to Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And if you and I are going to reach people, if we're going to fish for men and reach people and get them into the boat of the New Testament church, you got to keep working at it. So you got to put the time into it. It takes time. It takes energy. But you just keep fishing. And if you keep fishing, you stand a chance to catch something. When my kids were growing up, I used to take them fishing. I'm going to tell you something. That's enough to give you a nervous breakdown. I had four kids and a wife, and everybody's casting, and I've got hooks in my britches and hooks in the trees and hooks stuck on the bottom of the river, and Dad never gets to fish. But if you don't keep the line in the water, you can't catch anything. So you say, what are you saying, Pastor? If you want to reach people, if you want to help people, if you want to get people in the church, you just keep fishing at it. You keep working at it. You keep working it. And eventually, you'll catch something by accident. But you got to keep going. Then, and this is number 11, if you invite people to church, and I think sometimes we give up too easy. I had to learn this. I would say to someone, why don't you come visit my church this week? And they would say, I'm going to be out of town this week. Now, they're not going to be out of town the next week, but they're going to be out of town this week. So what you got to learn to do is when they say, oh, I can't this week, you say, well, how about the next week? Well, they say, well, I'm going to be out of town then too. Say, well, how about the third week? Say, how long can you go on? I can go on as long as you want. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Not that hard. But I just had to be ready for that. Because often the immediate, they said, can't. So I would say immediately, okay, we're having church the next week too. And we're having church the next week too. And I would just stay on it. And I'm not talking about unkindly badgering them, but I am saying that if they're sincere, that the reason they're not coming this week is because they're out of town, then they're going to be back in town someday. Now, if they're the deceptive one, that's not my fault. I'm sincerely figuring they're going to be out of town this week, and that's a sincere reason. So I sincerely say, how about the week after that? So, if they can't this week, try again for another week. Number 12, it would help you if you want to get guests to come if you got a little excited and you lost yourself a little bit in how big, how important, and how much you enjoy church. Now, I could see that if church was boring and if church was lethargic, I could see it a little hard to sell. But folks, there's no telling what might happen around here. This is not a boring church. This is an upbeat church. We are an excited church. There is an atmosphere here that is inviting. It's fresh. It's new. And by the way, part of that is the salvations and the good music and the Spirit of God. But it will help you if you'll get a little bit excited and let them see your commitment to your church. Look, we ought to have that commitment to Jesus and have that commitment to someone's need of a Savior. But look, if you don't like your church, you're going to have a hard time convincing somebody else to come and be a part. And so fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with the New Testament church, and it won't be hard to get people to be a part of that. Some people are going to be amazed at it. When you go, I just love it out there. I have such a, we have a great time at church. It's exciting. There are, and really, the word fun, it's not the exact word I'm looking for, but the truth is, we are delighted with what we get to do around here. Remember, we don't have the attitude, I've got to go to church. We have the attitude, I get to go to church. And a lot of people don't see it that way. And it's not that way out there in all those other churches. They go in, and it's just like a funeral home. It's cold, it's dry, nothing's happening, nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting excited. Nobody is changing anything. And I'm telling you, when you do get a church where God's there and there's excitement and there's some drive in there, there's that lilt of Christianity. Boy, that's attractive. That's attractive. And so, but you've got to get a little bit of that. You've got to take a little bit of that out there with you so that when they get here, they've already had a little taste of what it is. And can I tell you something? I do not think when we get to heaven, it's going to be like a funeral home. I think heaven's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. When we get to heaven, you know who's going to preach there? Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, he can shuck the corn. I'll tell you, he was the prince of preachers. And when we hear preaching up there, people are going to say amen. The music is going to be fantastic. There's going to be an atmosphere. I'll guarantee it. And the New Testament church is to be a foretaste of glory divine. And when people come here, they're to be reminded of what heaven will be like. And I don't think heaven is going to be like a morbid funeral home. I think there is going to be an excitement. Now, there's a propriety in everything that we do. But at the same time, you're going to have to get some excitement about you so that they understand why you're excited and committed to your church. Number 13, I've said this to a lot of people. I've said, listen, come one time, and if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. Now, I'm pretty sold on the fact that they're going to like it. But if they think I'm trying to get them to come forever, I am, but I'm not starting there. I'm just smart enough to say, come one time. And if you don't like it, that'll be up to you. But boy, if I could get them here that one time. I've said that to many, many people. Let me tell you something else that you can do. And this is number 14, and we're getting very close to the end of my list. But number 14, if they make excuses, they come up with something, and maybe it's valid, solve their problem for them. I've gone and I've invited someone to come to the church, and they said, oh, I'm going to have to wash my car Sunday morning. I said, I'll start taking off my jacket. I said, well, let's do it right now. I'd be glad to help you wash your car. I've had people say to me, going to mow the yard. I'll say, where's the mower? I said, I'll do it right now if you'd like. Usually, by that moment, they're thinking, we're not going to get rid of this guy. Let's go ahead and lie to him, tell him we're going to be there, get him off our front porch. But if I can solve a problem, I'd love to solve a problem. If I can help them, and look, folks, lost people and unspiritual people, they can come up with all sorts of things that would keep them out of church. They've not learned yet that you just don't let things get in the road. You get there because that's where God wants you to be. But if you can solve a problem for them, then you try to solve it. I had a family one time say to me, said, well, we don't have a car, and Sunday morning is the only time our ride can take us to the grocery store. I said, you know what, my wife and I, we can come by and pick you up, and we'll take you to the store today. That'll free up your Sunday morning. And we did, and they did, and they came to church. And so it's caring enough to maybe help them through some complexity that seems to slow them down from being in church. Number 15. You know, there is a truth that you know, I don't suppose you want to ridiculously overly emphasize it, but I've said to more than one person, say, listen, I'm going to tell you, the devil would like to keep you away from church. And God would like for you to be in church. Just don't let the devil keep you away from God. Don't let the devil keep you away from church. And I realize America, she's in far worse shape than what she used to be. But there are a lot of people out there that will still realize there is a devil. And they will say, yeah, you're right. You know, the devil has got me out of church, or I'm not in church like I ought to be. But there is a power that is that of the devil, and he is trying to keep people out of church, and he's succeeding at it. May not hurt to tell them. You know, there's a devil that tries to keep us all out of church. Be careful not to let him win. He does not have your best interest in mind. Number 16, I might say this also during like a spring program, a fall program. Not only will we reach out to the lost, but I think it's wise for us to very gently try to regain the backslidden. Just like there are things that would be enticing to the lost to come, and the backslidden can be redrawn into the church. And I think there's a difference in someone that's backslidden and somebody that's evil. You know, people that are just out to destroy the church, you need to be careful with that. But there are a lot of people that are not out to destroy the church. They're just destroying themselves by being out of church. We want to try to regain them and get them back into church. So there's some excitement and there's some things happening during the spring program or the fall program or what we might call our Sunday morning revival, as you will. But we ought to reach out to the people that have just gotten off track. And let me remind everybody here, if in weeks to come we reach out to some people that maybe have gotten off track and they've been out of church, watch how you handle them when they come back. Remember, they're a little timid about coming back. If they're saved, they know they ought to be in church, and they've been out of church, and I'm sure there's an element that they feel badly about that. So when they walk in the back door, you don't go over and say, "Long time no see, look what the dog's rug in, didn't think you were ever coming back." That's the last thing they wanted to hear you say. They want you to treat them normally and kindly and love them. And look, they may not look like they ought to look or act like they ought to act, but they've been away from the Lord. And might I say to all of us, when you get away from God, you might not look and act like you're supposed to look and act. We need to regain them and give them a chance to begin to grow again. Number 17, I want all you young people that go to the public school, look up here at your pastor for a second and listen to me. One of the greatest mission fields in the United States of America are the public schools. If you are going to a public school, there's no reason in the world why you shouldn't be bringing your friends to church. It was not my privilege to go to a Christian school. And let me tell you, it's a privilege to go to a Christian school. I didn't have that privilege when I was growing up, but I was a teenager. I had to go to the public school. But I'll tell you something. I reached out to all the people that I went to school with, and week after week after week after week, I was able to bring my friends or the people that I went to school with. And those of you that go to the public school, you need to understand something. There are not a lot of lost people, if you will, in the Christian school where some of our other kids attend, although it's sad, but there are lost kids in the Christian schools. But it's not full of lost people at the Christian school, but if you go to a public school, what a tremendous opportunity you have. You're surrounded by people that don't know Jesus, and you can influence them to come to church. When I was 16 years of age, my parents had allowed me to get a car. And I might say this, I paid for it all myself. My parents said, "You're not going to have a car unless you can afford to pay for it." So I had to pay for the car. I had to pay for the insurance. And that's just the way that my parents had it, because they said they were going to rear a young man that knew how to make his way in life. And so I didn't get it right away. I didn't have the money to get it right away. And I'm glad I learned that. But you know something? That car wasn't all vanity. Now, it was a nice car, I have to say. But it wasn't that my car wasn't all about the nice looking car. I began to use it, and I brought people to church. Boy, I would invite people that I went to school with, and by the end of every week, I had somebody coming to church with me, because I was in the public school all day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I was there all day long. I was surrounded by people, and I decided I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of what I am, and I'm going to invite those people to come to church with me. One of those was a young lady by the name of Sherry. I invited her when we went to the very same high school, and that is my wife. I'll never forget the day that she came to my church and she visited, because I was the kid in the public school that carried his Bible, and I wasn't going to be afraid of the people that I went to school with. And she got saved. And then I started the follow-up program. (Clears throat) But that came when I was in the public school and I was inviting people. And I mean virtually hundreds and hundreds of people from my public school got saved because I was a 16-year-old that I decided I may be stuck in this school, but they're stuck with me. And I brought people from my school. Let me give you one more. Let me say this. Everything that I've said, after you've done what you can, you've invited people, you've cared, you love, you've tried all the different techniques, just pray and leave the rest to God. You won't reach everybody, and you won't get everybody to come. But when you do get one, and they get saved, it will change their eternity. Don't give up. Remember, you may have to invite 20 to get one. But boy, if that one gets born again, or if that one gets right with God, it will change them forever. And might I say, it'll change you too. Well, when you start seeing the people you invite, when you start seeing the influence and what God can do in their life, that is a tremendous blessing. I'm not just talking to teenagers now. I'm talking to adults. I'm talking to new Christians and older Christians alike. Folks, we're not to sit here and just hope that visitors and lost people stumble into the New Testament church. God said, get out there and draw them in. Do it with some urgency. Repeat yourself if you have to. Do it with some excitement and do it with some commitment. And he said, I'll step in and help you do the rest. We're to compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be filled. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Indeed, I have been extra practical tonight and just very, very simple instruction about reaching out and getting people in. But it's not a difficult thing. It's just a thing that you've got to stay after it. You've got to stay consistent. Let's invite people to be a part of the family of God. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, we invite you to the Savior. If you're here and you've never been saved, if you'll allow us, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me that I would be saved. Will you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Anyone like that at all? All right. Then how about this? Christian, has God spoken to your heart tonight? Some of you used to invite people to church. But you haven't. You don't anymore. Start again. We're not off the hook. The responsibility's not been removed. You say, well, I used to do it and succeed at it a lot. I know, but you say, well, I've paid my dues. None of us have paid our dues. As long as we're alive, we've got to keep trying to reach people and help people. Look, somebody helped you. Somebody reached out to you. You need to do the same. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I think I could be a little more involved in compelling them to come in that my Father's house might be full. And God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. And all of us, and myself including. Now, you may put those hands down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. And when he does, we're going to stand. And once we do, maybe you ought to come down here and pray about it for a second. It might be that somebody ought to come down here and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I've ignored a lot of people. I could have invited others, but I haven't. I've just not done that like I should. It may be that some of you have someone you want to come down here and pray for. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's some acquaintance or some schoolmate. I'll tell you something. Again, I go back to the public school students in here. I challenge you, young people. Don't be ashamed at school. Invite your friends to come to church with you. You can change their eternity. Maybe you just need to come and pray over someone you'd love to see get saved or come to our church. If that be the case, the altar will be open. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you maybe need to come and pray for a second and say, God, help me. I do want to get people into church. I do want to reach people. Song, bring them in from the fields of sin. Let's Let's keep reaching people. Let's keep reaching out to people. Some of you need to invite people at work. Some of you need to invite people that live near you. Some of you need to invite the ones that you go to school with. Some of you need to invite your acquaintances. Look, some of you, you check out at the grocery store, the same lane every time, and you've virtually built a little type of an association, a relationship with that person there at the grocery store. Hey, invite them to come to church. Invite them to come and be a part. I really don't think we're going to embarrass you. That's not our intent. The gospel will be preached. We'll handle ourselves in a way of dignity. So God intended for the church to be productive. It's not a morgue. It's not a funeral home. It's a place of life. It's a place of excitement. It's a place where lives are changed and marriages are salvaged and families are strengthened. The word compel, what does it mean? It's an urgency. It's a word of repetition. It's a word of excitement or intensity. It means to convince and make something necessary to someone. We ought to compel them to come in. Why? So my Father's house might be full. Full. God wants it full. Not just the basketball games, not just the football games, not just the beach. God wants the church house full. Sunday school teachers, you'll get visitors and you get people in your class if you do what I told you. You got to visit. You got to work at it. You got to attempt to get it done. Bus captains, bus workers, the very same thing. Old-time religion people used to knock on doors and visit people and walk up and down streets and not be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Now, you'll see the Mormons walking up and down the street, but when was the last time you see an old-time religion preacher with his Bible out just walking up down streets inviting people? There's nothing wrong with it. We still have the freedom to do that in America, and we should do that. Make some cookies. Take them to your neighbor. Invite them to come to church with you. If you're a bad cook, go to Subway, buy the cookies, wrap them up in your own little baggie, take them next door and tell them that you want them to come to church with you. Thank you, Brother Hollinger. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I want God to know that we are interested in the people for who Jesus died. And that's those people out there. And it's kind of sad if you and I are saved and we're on our way to heaven. We're pleased with that. We ought to want other people to have what we have. And that was God's plan. It's an amazing thing. I've often wondered, why did God not save us and then just take us straight to heaven? That's an easy thing to answer. He saved you and I and left us here to become a workforce. And that workforce's purpose is to keep people out of hell and to present Jesus to a lost and dying world. And we're supposed to be letting people know about Jesus. And one of the great places for them to learn is right here at God's house, in the New Testament church. Well, I'm glad you're here. If you're guests this evening, thank you for coming. And let's all go out there. Don't be rude. Be kind. Be loving. But let's just let people know God's still alive down at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And let's let God work in our lives.